Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
False start on the host. 5 yards. We'll replay the down. Highs today of 80. Right now it's nice, beautiful spring morning, 65 degrees. And it's going to go up. A little cool front's coming through. Peyton Malone saying just a 5% chance for showers today, which you don't hear of often. Highs of 76 today, just beautiful sunshine. 81 on Thursday, 84 on Friday. Good Friday. A lot of people have an Easter crawfish boils and so forth. Then Saturday, Holy Saturday, highs of 84. And then Easter Sunday, highs of 83 and cloudy. So it should be okay to be outside, maybe a little bit warm. Delisha Boyd joins us now, Louisiana State Representative, to talk about the session and some of the bills she's filed. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me how you go about when it comes to, first of all, is this your first term or not?
No, this is my now third regular session.
Third regular session. I'm sorry. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. Tell me what goes into, I guess, the off season. We always talk about it, you know, sports in the off season. For a legislator, what goes into your off season when it comes to priorities and determining what it is, what legislation you'd like to file, and you hear from constituents? I'm always like to take a peek behind the curtain and see what goes on there.
For me, it's mostly community work. That's what I was doing before I was elected. So I generally try to meet with my community, meet different organizations in my community, and I decide to have bills drafted based on need. So this session, I actually had drafted about 15. I had to pick 5 from the 15 because we're in a fiscal session.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones I decided on were things that were of immediate importance to my community. One is the
Hang on one second. Before we get to that, I just want to get to, when it comes to, because people want to know, and I do, in general, not just you, but in general, when it comes to drafting a bill, who puts all that together? Do you write that, or do the legislators write that? Who writes that?
We have staff that's made up of attorneys, very smart, wise attorneys. And you can literally call them with what you're thinking, and they find the legal way to draft it so that if it goes into law, everything is legal about it.
Do you share a staff? Do all legislators share a staff, or each legislator has a staff?
In-house, everybody shares staff based on committee.
I got you. Okay, I'm just curious about that. Let's talk about your legislation, Representative.
Okay, so at the top of my bill is the anti-hazing. We lost a young man not even 3 months ago with regard to hazing off campus.
Caleb Wilson.
Yes, Caleb Wilson. It's called, it refers to the Caleb Wilson Act. This is just to take it a step further. I think most universities have a policy where you read a pamphlet and sign off, or one seminar during orientation. This will include a mandatory class that will be 1 credit hour towards your graduation, but it is mandatory for all incoming freshmen, and also for those who are part of any Greek letter organization, the band, any sporting team will also have to take the class within the next two semesters.
Is that college or high school or both?
College.
College, okay.
College and university.
Are you surprised that what shocked me about the Caleb Wilson tragedy is that with so much that has been made of hazing in the last, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, that this still goes on?
Well, you know, honestly, I guess you and I both are from the same camp. I thought really had died off. I was in college in the 80s, mm-hmm. where I think it was really bad, and I had not heard of recent hazing in recent years. And then I was shocked to learn that there's hazing with the bands and the sporting teams at some schools. It really was eye-opening for me, which is why I think the class will help kids who want to pledge understand you don't have to allow yourself to be hazed to join any organization. But also, like the young people who are doing hazing, mm-hmm. I don't know if they are aware of that now hazing with bodily harm is a felony offense. So we need to enlighten everybody full circle on what hazing is and the repercussions of hazing.
And that's what your bill does, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's if they don't know that there are penalties, then the penalty's not going to serve as a deterrent, and that's only common sense.
Absolutely. And just to show you what I mean by that, so my bill was drafted maybe 3 weeks ago, and then this past week we had Tulane University to suspend mm-hmm. two of their fraternities. And I was speaking with someone, and they were like, how could they do this in the wake of Caleb Wilson? I said, they probably don't know. I know that seems strange with the information to AIDS being what it is, but these kids on campus, they don't watch regular TV or news outlets. They watch Hulu and Netflix and Baton Rouge. Although to us it seems around the corner, it is very possible that those kids on Tulane's campus had no idea what happened in Baton Rouge.
You know, as crazy as this sounds, it seems like there could be some kind of low-tech reminder as well, like just signage around the universities as, remember, hazing is a criminal offense, maybe?
Yes, and that's low-hanging fruit. That's actually a great idea.
Thank you. We'll take a break, pick it up. We come back talking to Delisha Boyd, you know, top of mind kind of stuff. Delisha Boyd, Louisiana State Representative. We'll talk about some of the other bills that she's proposed for the session that's underway when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Legislative session is underway, and we're joined by Delisha Boyd, Representative, Louisiana. Louisiana State Representative Delisha Boyd. I'll get it out. Representative, somebody texted in and said, remember, back when I was in college, we didn't care much about breaking the rules, just saying, and that goes to the nature of your bill, which is, well, maybe if you realize that there are criminal penalties for your behavior, then maybe you would care a lot more about breaking the rules, right?
Absolutely. At the very least, it would be a deterrent, and we're counting on that. And believe it or not, an 18-year-old who's had their eyes set on pledging any fraternity or playing in any band, they are most likely thinking, this is what I have to endure to make these teams. And that's simply not the truth. So we want to make sure that both sides are educated, because they are in school for a purpose, for a brighter future. And there is no brighter future if someone ends up dead or going to jail. So they need to be aware of a full round circle on what's at stake. And this is not an elective. This will be a mandatory class.
And along those lines, you know, I don't mean to bring you into this, but we're going to talk about Kyron Lacy and mental health later, but this young man made a terrible decision driving, which led, I guess, to a confluence of events that eventually led to his death. Teenagers and young people make bad decisions sometimes. That's why if you can put it in front of them and remind them of the consequences of their actions as often as you can, you can't go wrong. What else do you have proposed, Representative?
That we spoke about Kyron Lacy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A mental health symposium last summer with Congressman Troy Carter that he hosted. And I was shocked to find out that school faculty, staff, counselors are not allowed to call parents and give them any information that to be medically, because the kids are considered adults at 18. So this particular bill will provide a waiver to be signed where the family can be contacted in the mental health crisis. Because sometimes if you catch early enough, something could be done. We had a young girl last week, 7 days yesterday, that committed suicide at Xavier University. And then we had Karen, who passed away over the weekend. And apparently they had been displaying personality changes and the stress and the depression and anxiety. We want to try to get these kids help as soon as possible, because the issue with a 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, or even a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, is they don't understand you got to keep getting up and tomorrow will get better. Yep. What they see is what's right in front of them, and that it seems permanent in their eyes. They can't find any way out because they haven't had enough life experiences. So we can help the schools connect with the parents. My hope is it will head off some of this mental health crisis that we're suffering since COVID, especially.
And Representative, you talked about being in college in the 80s, and I graduated in 88. It's not the same. It's not the same world that we lived in then. And for people that are not empathetic or sympathetic and say, well, you know, we all have challenges, I don't think people realize the changes. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, but not just that. I think our upbringing was quite different than what the kids are experiencing now. I shielded my daughter, whether it was intentional or not, in my effort to try to make life better for her than what I had.
Me too. Same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I sheltered her from a lot of things. So the things that I was able to endure from the lane that I traveled is not the same for my daughter. It's not the same for this generation. So then we now need to make sure that they understand, keep moving, keep getting up. Prayer works, right? But you also sometimes need help of a mental health specialist.
One other bill that you have proposed, Representative?
Yes, I am. Also proposed the exception to a rape and incest to the abortion laws for children under 16. You know, Tommy, kids, again, because it's a different world, whether it's the food or whatever it is, some of these kids are getting their cycles as young as 9 years old. The idea of a 9-year-old being forced to carry her abuser's child to term. I have one kid because my pregnancy was so hard at 23, so I can't even begin to imagine the 9-year-old. But I want to just place that decision in the family.
But you know that's more of a protest, right? Because you know that has no chance of passing?
Well, it's not a protest. It's a personal journey for me.
Let's put it that way. Okay. I didn't mean that in a demeaning way at all, Representative. I hope you know that.
I didn't take it that way, but, I have not, since I presented this bill first in 2022, it is my journey. I'm the product of a 15-year-old. My sperm donor was 28. And what I do know is in 68, there was no choice, but my mother and what she endured, she did not survive that. She was dead before she was 30 years old. And she didn't have a choice in 68. That's not to say she would have chosen to do something about it. I just think that that is a decision that should be within the family and not in political people's hands.
Yep. Thank you, Representative. Yep. I appreciate your time. I do. I hope we talk to you again. Delisha Boyd, Louisiana State Representative. When we come back, talk to Ben Riggs, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana, about what would it really take to change insurance rates in Louisiana, either on the home side of it or the car side of it. I'd ask you to text the Open Heart Jeweler Talk and text line. Don't text and drive. Text, message, and data rates apply, 504-260-1870. What are your realistic expectations about insurance reform after this session? What's going to be different between now and then? Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8. I'm getting some interesting texts about my $35 pizza, which I'll address after the news, so you can continue to text in if $35 is normal for a pizza or not, 504-260-1870. Open Heart Jeweler talking text line, text message and data rates may apply. Please don't ever text and drive. Ben Riggs joins us now, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana, to talk about the insurance problems in Louisiana and the session. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Morning. Sounds like we need to be pushing for pizza reform, $35.
Yeah. Does that seem high to you or not? Because, again, I was saying, I don't know if you heard or not.
Look, I love pizza. I'll pay for food. It better be a good pizza. That's all I'm going to say. It can't be your standard pizza.
And I live in an insular world. I eat brown rice. I eat vegetables. I eat chicken breast. It's just the way I eat, and I've trained myself to eat that. And I decided to splurge and get a large pizza, and that just seemed kind of high to me. But let's talk about insurance rates, speaking of high.
Sure.
Have you heard anything so far? And I keep saying this, my parents named me Thomas, and rightfully so, because I am extremely doubtful of everything. Give me some hope, Ben, that something between now and the end of the session is going to change so we see any substantial reduction in either homeowner or auto insurance rates.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. The only thing that I really hear that I think has the potential to lower rates is there's a bill out there. I'll dial that back. Significantly lower rates is there's a bill out there that would provide the commissioner with more authority to reject excessive rates. Upon coming into office, one of the first things Commissioner Temple did was he got rid of the previous commissioner's desk rule, which capped the amount of profit that insurers could build into rates they filed with the state. He got rid of that. And Louisiana law explicitly says...
Wait, slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Jim Donilon had what in place?
He had a desk rule. So that's like an internal rule set in the commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm.
Where he would cap the amount of profit that an insurance company could put into a rate filing that they filed with the state.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Temple got rid of that.
So tell me what that looks like. In other words, they apply for a rate increase and they say what?
So it's my understanding that the rate, the profit cap for Commissioner Temple, for Commissioner Donilon was like around 8%. Commissioner Temple got rid of that. So
you're talking about like a rate of rate. I don't mean to get too lost here in the weeds, but that's where, again, Ben, playing golf for money, that's where most of the cheating goes on, is in the weeds. So when you say 8%, that means like a rate of return almost?
Profit. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes, 100%. So, like, the idea is that you get rid of that, and then you're building out rate filings that are based on the risk you're insuring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that enables you to put an awful, awful, awful high profit factor into the rate filing. Well, Louisiana law explicitly says, and I'm going to read it verbatim, not even characterize it, but just word for word, no rate in a competitive market shall be considered excessive. So Louisiana law doesn't give the commissioner authority to reject a rate purely on the basis of it being excessive, which in the law is defined as a rate that would return an exceedingly high profit for the insurer.
But wait, Ben, so, I hate to jump in here, but you're talking about excessive, exceedingly high. Those are all very subjective terms, are they not? I mean, what's extremely high or excessive to you may not be the same to me.
Are you arguing we ain't paying excessive rates in Louisiana?
No, I am, but I'm just saying, how do you define it? It's like pornography. I know it when I see it, but it's hard to define, as the Supreme Court said. I'm just saying, if you're going to come up with laws and codify something, it seems like it has to be more than that, right? Or not?
Well, that's not how Louisiana law is written. Like this, the way that this bill that's in the session right now is proposed is it takes, so the commissioner can currently reject something for being inadequate. And that's important because we don't want insurance companies to become insolvent. And he can reject something for being discriminatory. And he can reject something for being actuarially unjustified, where the math just doesn't add up in the rate filing. The bill in the that's before this legislature right now, which is there's one by Senator Luno, there's another by Representative Robbie Carter. What it would effectively do is just include excessive rates in with the other groupings of errors that the commissioner can reject. And this is something that most commissioners in most states have.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that consumer protection, and I could see where that would not just be something that where an actual excessive rate gets, rejected, sent back to the insurance company, but it could also be a thing that's a deterrent to insurers where they don't feel like they can just file anything and get it implemented. And then the other one that I've actually talked about for a long time, which I think will have a huge impact, is there's one up, and Governor Landry has publicly backed both of these. There's one up that would prohibit the use of credit scores in rate making.
And let me take a break and pick it up right there when we come back, all right, Ben? Because we got to take a break. And no disrespect to you, and this is complicated stuff. And I think a lot of people, this is not a reflection on you, are hearing Charlie Brown's teacher here because they're saying, well, you know, when it comes to profit with all the divisions and subdivisions, how do you define profit? The actuarial part I get. But, we got to talk about tort reform, I guess, at some point. We'll talk about credit ratings and insurance rates when we come back. Ben Riggs, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana, 9 till 8, Traffic, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Ben Riggs, our guest, Executive Director of Real Reform Louisiana. When the governor gave his speech, one of the rare moments when the Democrats stood up, some House Democrats stood up, is when he mentioned credit scores being used to determine your insurance rates. Ben, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I think credit scores are a way that insurance companies drive up their rates. And the truth is that we've seen examples of people with DWIs and good credit paying less for auto insurance in Louisiana than people with safe driving records and poor credit. It's just something that shouldn't be used to set rates, and we absolutely support that provision and believe that it could potentially lower rates significantly.
How does that compare and contrast with other states?
There are a number of states that prohibit the use of credit scores. I think that when you look at Louisiana, we outpace everybody for the most part on rates, with the exception of Florida. And sadly, it feels like we're kind of going in the direction of Florida with a lot of proposals that's before the legislature this time. And if you look at the insurance crisis in Florida, they passed tort reform a few years ago, and they're having buyer's remorse for it now, and they're starting to undo those provisions because they've had a devastating effect on the people of Florida.
Ben, you mentioned DWIs, and while we talk about actuarial this and profit that and soft tissue damage, what role does that play in DWIs in Louisiana as opposed to other states? Is it a lot higher here or not? Because people always point to drive-through daiquiri shops, et cetera.
Yeah, I think we need to address the way that we police our streets, make our infrastructure safer, make our roads safer. But the truth is, like, the tort reform measures, we've been talking about them for decades. They've never worked. They've never lowered rates, and they're not going to lower rates this time.
And I guess you'd have to go back and see if the numbers hold up, how many of these awards or settlements, whatever you want to call them, are related to accidents that are initially involved, that where alcohol initially played a factor, right? Has anybody studied that, do you know?
Yeah, I don't know the answer as far as like how much like jury verdicts and alcohol related incidents intertwine.
Be interesting to look into it though, to see, because if it's cause and effect. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate your time. We'll talk about this big settlement with Dane Cialino and a Chevron case and oil field damages.